All right, and I do tell you that next week, next Sunday evening, we'll meet here at the same time. We're going to have our quarterly meeting. When we say quarterly meeting, sometimes people think, oh, well, we're having a business meeting. But it's God's business. If you're a part of God's business, you need to be here. And so I appreciate all that are here. I look out here and I see Sunday school teachers, and I see deacons and see trustees, and I should see them all. And I appreciate the ones that are here, and I appreciate you being here. And it matters whenever you come together and you're a part of the church. You want to be here. You want to learn together. You want to be able to praise God together. Next week, we're going to be able to see the things that he does, the things that he's been doing in the church. We need to be able to praise him for those things. So if you have a prayer request this evening, I want you to raise your hand. Let the Lord know you have a prayer request. If you have a praise, raise both hands. We'll pray together. Father God, we love you. We praise you. We thank you, Lord, for who you are. We thank you, Lord, for your mercy and your grace. And we just thank you, God, for how good you are to us all the time. You give us this opportunity to come and open your word. And Lord, we don't praise you enough for what you've given us, what you've done for us, what you've allowed us to be a part of. And Lord, so many times we get distracted by other things in our life. And Lord, for that, Lord, we put you second. And I just want to say I'm sorry for the times that I put you second. And Lord, I pray that you would read the heart of each person in here and know that, Lord, we need to be putting you first. And the more that we know about you, Lord, the easier it's going to be to do that. So thank you, Lord, for each person that's come tonight. Each person, Lord, who's put themselves in a place to be able to learn more about you. I pray that you would open your word tonight, that you would reveal yourself to us. I thank you, God, for the opportunity of salvation. And I pray for those that have never taken that opportunity. I pray that you would just minister to us, Lord, in such a strong and mighty way. I pray that you would show us yourself and show us ourselves. I pray for our children. I pray for the youth. And I pray in all things, Lord, that happen tonight, that you would just receive honor, glory, and praise. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand up and take this time to greet one another, and then we'll start. If you have your Bible, please raise your Bible above your head and bear witness of God's word. That's beautiful. You may be seated. We will be turning to a lot of scripture tonight because our scripture is our authority, and that's what we're going to use. The last time that we met on Sunday for a Bible study, we talked about our protecting our identity. Of course, last week we had the baby dedication. We didn't get to meet, so when we were talking about protecting our identity, that was in reference to our identity in Christ. And we talked about that Sunday morning, how important our identity is, that our identity matters. But not our identity as to how people know our accomplishments and how they know us, but how they know us in Christ. And so we learned in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 that we're ambassadors for Christ. And we'll start right there in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. So if you want to turn there, when you have it, just say, I have it. We learn in those messages, number one, that God knows our true identity. And then we also learn that the people around us know our identity. No matter what identity that we want to give ourselves or what we try to convince others that we have, our everyday actions, what we do, what we say, how obedient we are to God, our faithfulness to God, our desire to bring glory to Him instead of ourselves, how unselfish we are, how forgiving we are, how loving we are, the hope that we live with, how loving we are, how trusting we are instead of being discontent. The trust that we have in the Lord is a great example of our identity. If we're to go around worrying and discontent, and all people see is our frustration in life, they're not seeing the identity of having the peace that God talks about that we would have. You see, these characteristics are what show God and what show others our identity. And everybody's watching. The people that are around you are watching. Your identity is something that you need to hold to. And when Paul told us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, that if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. What happens when we become in Christ is that we have a new identity. And so I want to begin here, and I want to read to you verse 15 through 21. We'll focus on verse 17. It says, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth, that means from now on, live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth we know him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now, then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who know no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Amen. In this verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, so I want to focus on this in Christ. See, the term in Christ describes what happens to us when we get saved. We put our belief in Christ. Say it with me. Where do we put our belief? We put our belief in Christ, and that's easy to say, but what we're saying is we put our belief in everything that he did for us. When we put our belief in Christ, then our sins are put into Christ. They become part of Jesus sacrificing his sinless life. When we put our sins in Christ, we put our sins in the cross. He died for our sins, so we become part of what he did. When he died for our sins and we get saved, then we bury ourselves in the tomb of Christ, so we're buried with Christ. In the same way, when Christ rose from the dead, we become spiritually resurrected when we're saved. In a new life, as a new creature, which Jesus happened to call being born again. So when you get saved, we're put into everything that Christ has ever done, everything that he is doing, everything that he's going to do. We become part of his purpose. Do you ever think about it that way? You become part of his purpose. You're never insignificant. You're never a nobody. You always have a value. Once you become in Christ, you have value. And I think sometimes that's the thing that causes our discouragement. We begin to look at our life and see where we have value. Some people think their value comes in a job. Some people think their value comes in a relationship. Jobs and relationships fail. But your relationship in Christ, that gives you value. The only person that can mess that up is us. He will never mess it up. When we get saved, we become this new creature, this new creation, he says. What's unique about this new creation is that we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. The old person, well, it didn't have the Holy Spirit living inside of it. It had the Holy Spirit trying to live inside of us, convicting us, drawing us to God. But now we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. And so, Paul summed it up in Galatians 2:20 by saying, and listen, he's talking about being in Christ, his whole purpose. He said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So Paul said, since I put my life in Christ, and Christ put his life in me, then I will live my life as a new creature for Christ. That's beautiful, isn't it? But it's what we all should be doing. When we put ourselves in Christ, Christ puts himself in us, and as this new creation in Christ, our identity now needs to be apparent to God and to others. Old things, the old way that we have, this old man that's inside of me, it should pass away and all things should become new. But yet we talked about battling our old man when we protect that identity, right? That old part of me that didn't represent Christ, it's still in there. Sometimes when I get in a situation, there are certain things that, certain ways I used to act that I'm not proud of, I can feel those coming out. Anybody? Not mine. Don't be talking about mine. That was a joke. Be talking about yours. You ever feel the old man coming out? Right?
It ain't good.
No, it's not. There's the part of me that would not have acted Christ-like if I was in a situation and there was someone that did me wrong, or I was in a conflict and Sometimes I catch myself having visions. You ever have those visions? Like I play out those visions in my mind when I'm standing there fighting those visions of what I want to do. I can even see sometimes on TV and I think things and I have to stop myself because the old man is trying to come out. Can I get a witness? Are we all on the same page? And I'm battling that old man because I'm a new creation. I'm a new creature in Christ. That old person, it's there, but it doesn't have to come out because I'm new. I can't just say that, well, you know, they made it happen because they did. God gave us power to overcome that. So, let me ask you a question. Do you realize how important it is to be in Christ? If you do, say amen.
Amen.
Do you think we realize the blessing that God's given us by allowing us to become this new creature? I think sometimes we take it for granted. What do you think? Do you think we praise God enough for recreating us in Christ? You know, a new creation, that means He recreated us. Do you think that we praise God enough for recreating us? We have so many things that happen to us that we should be continually praising God for. And don't forget it, it's God that allowed us to be put in Christ. It's God that allowed you to be put in Christ. For some reason, God allowed us to have this recreation.
Praise God.
We're told in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Since you're already in chapter 5, just turn back to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Listen to verse 21 and 22, and you'll see that it was God that allowed us. 2 Corinthians 1, 21 and 22. Now he which establisheth us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God, who hath also sealed us and given us the earnest of the Spirit in our heart. It tells us here clearly that now he which establisheth us with you is Christ. God is the one. God is the one that put us with Christ. He didn't have to. That alone should be praise. So let's talk about the reasons to praise God for putting us in Christ. I don't want to go out of here and just say, hey, you need to be praising God for being in Christ. And know that we can quote 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. No, we shouldn't just be able to quote it. We should be able to have that as our continual praise. I want to give you the reasons to praise. Sometimes we're blocked from those reasons to praise because of all these reasons that we have in our mind of frustration of why something isn't going our way. Sometimes it takes us a while to get to our praise. We just aren't focusing on it. I thought it would be good to just remind you what the Bible says in a real Bible study where we take the Word of God and we say, hey, let's just see what God says that gives us reason to praise Him for being in Christ. Since you're already in 2 Corinthians, turn back to chapter 5 and know that the first reason that we have to praise God for being in Christ, we read it already, verse 19, is that we are reconciled to God in Christ. What does reconciled mean? It means we're brought together. Listen to verse 19. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation.
Amen.
What's the first reason to praise? Is that we're brought together with God by being in Christ. Now everybody should be happy about that because outside of that, you're still separated from God. So the first thing is simple. We're reconciled to God in Christ. But I want to give you another scripture here to go with that. And listen, you might be turning a lot, but that's okay. It's a Bible study. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11 through 13. It supports the first point that we're reconciled to God, our first reason to praise. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11 through 13. I appreciate you bringing your Bibles. I appreciate you turning to these places. Paul says, wherefore remember that you being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope. You used to have no hope and without God in this world. Verse 13, anytime you see a but now, right? But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were sometimes were afar off are made nigh. That means brought near by the blood of Christ. Amen. First reason to praise, we're reconciled to God in Christ. Second reason is that we're redeemed in Christ. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and 19. I'll just read this to you. For as much as you know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold from your vain conversation received from your fathers, by tradition from your fathers. Listen, how are you redeemed? But with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and spot. That's how we were redeemed. But I want you to know that Paul goes further. In Romans chapter 3, second scripture for the second reason that we have to praise. The first reason, we're reconciled to God in Christ. The second reason, we're redeemed in Christ. Say in Christ with me a minute. One more time. Listen, you can say any day, I'm in Christ, and I want you to go from now on knowing it's a reason to praise. You know what Paul said? Romans chapter 3, verse 23 and 24. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We know that verse. Listen, but he explains it. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is what? In Christ Jesus. Amen? So we're redeemed. And I can't talk about being redeemed without being able to mention Ephesians 1:7. Scott, do you know what Ephesians 1:7 says? It says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin, listen, according to the riches of his grace. Amen? So your second reason to praise. First is you're reconciled to God in Christ. Second, you're redeemed in Christ. Already I want to praise. Do you? Third reason, we're rescued in Christ. Turn to Romans chapter 8. We sure are turning a lot. You didn't know you're coming to a Bible study, didn't you? Romans chapter 8. Verse 1 and 2. There is therefore now no condemnation to who? To them who are what? Them who are what? You mean to tell me there's another reason to praise? The third reason to praise is that we're rescued in Christ. What is he saying? There is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ hath made me free from the law of sin and death. What is he saying? He's saying that we should be praising God daily for our freedom from the condemnation of sin. We should be praising God for allowing us to be in Christ. You see, he freed us. He rescued us. He rescued us from the penalty of sin. Do all of you have sin? We just read that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. What made it possible for us to be freed and rescued? What did we do to deserve it? Nothing. So, that's a bigger praise. If we had done something, we would think that we deserve it, but we were freed and we didn't even deserve it. So, we have been reconciled to God in Christ. Hey, we've also been redeemed to God in Christ, and we've been rescued in Christ. Are you ready to praise him? Reason number 4. We're born again in Christ. Now, this is back in the book of Ephesians, and I want to read you the first 6 verses of Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. for the fourth reason to praise. We're born again in Christ. When we began to sing, still have a reason to praise. I'm thinking about all these reasons to praise, knowing that we were going to talk about this tonight. You said you knew about that then? How in the world do you think all this scripture could come between this morning and here? This scripture is what God put in His Word, but it backs all of that up. So when we're singing, we still got a reason to praise. We've got plenty of reasons to praise God. But the reason we're talking about tonight is that we're in Christ. So reason number four, we're born again in Christ. Listen to Ephesians 2. And you hath He quickened. You. Say me. And you hath He quickened. That means brought to life. Who were dead in trespasses and sins. Where in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and the power of the air, and the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom we all had our life, our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of our flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But this is not a but now, this is a but God. Anytime you see a but God, that means the way that you were, whatever situation you were in, God intervened. But God, who is rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, He hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. Amen. Glory to God. Now let's read verse 6. And hath raised us up together and made us to sit in heavenly places. Hold on. How? In Christ Jesus. We got reasons to praise, don't we? We're born again in Him. Jesus said in John 3:3, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. God's given us an opportunity to sit with Him in heavenly places and walk with Him with His presence in us down here. All from being born again in Christ. Not just born again, like He told Nicodemus, but born again in Christ. He told Nicodemus in John 3:6-7, that which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. When I think about being born again, reborn, don't you know we use that word reincarnation, right? You know what reincarnation means? Recreated. Don't you know that there are people that believe in reincarnation? And I love to talk to them because I enjoy telling them, you know what? I believe in reincarnation. You say, Pastor, I can't believe that you believe in reincarnation. I absolutely do. I believe that once you're born again, you're recreated. You're reincarnated. But you're not reincarnated and coming back as a guppy, or you're not coming back as a goat, you know? You're coming back as a new person, right? If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Reason number five that we have to praise is that we become children of God in Christ. We're reconciled to God in Christ. We're redeemed in Christ. We're rescued in Christ. We're born again in Christ, and we become children of God in Christ. It's a pretty big deal. Yes. Child of God. Galatians chapter 3. Our next scripture. Galatians chapter 3. Anybody have a reason to praise for being in Christ? Listen to this big reason. For ye are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female. You're all one. Listen, in Christ Jesus. And if you being Christ, then you're Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Praise God. We're all God's children once we're put into Christ. We're baptized into Him. And we know we want to make sure that everybody here knows that baptism, even the word baptism that we use, comes from that word baptisma, to put into, to dip, to immerse, submerge, and emerge. We're put into Christ. That's a good reason to praise. We become children of God. Reason number six. We as His children are unified in Christ and set apart as His. We become special. You know, your value increases when you become in Christ. Romans chapter 12. I want the Word of God to prove this to us. I'm just sort of trying to point you in the right direction. Just to moderate, if you will. Paul writing this to believers, he said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For we, as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. So we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. Don't you know that God brought a bunch of misfits like us together, put us in a unique church body that is part of the overall church body? The overall church body, those who are saved are all in Christ, but then He gave us a distinct body in the body. Everyone who's accepted God's salvation, they are in Christ. And that's what we call the church. Not the building, but the church. Those are the saved. Those will be the bride. But we being an individual church, we become unified in that body. We have many members, but those members act in a different way. They all bring different talents, different gifts. But the one thing that we have in common is that we're all in Christ. Now turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Listen to what Paul says to the church at Corinth, as he was explaining that we're identified in Christ and unified in Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2. He wrote this to the church at Corinth. He said unto the church of God, whose church?
God.
To the church of God which is at Corinth. To them that are sanctified, means set apart, listen, in Christ Jesus. Called to be saints with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. We all share the Lord. That's what united means. We're all united by the body of Christ Jesus. We're all united by the sacrifice of Christ Jesus if we've accepted it. Our particular church body is unified by being in Christ. That's why it's so important to know who is a part of your church body. You say, what do you mean? Do you need to know everything about who is a part of your church body? You need to know everything that they've done? I have a meeting with everybody that joins our church, and I give them an opportunity to tell me anything that I might find out later on, and I want to tell them anything they might find out about me later on. I just think that's fair, unless we want to play games. Don't you? But it doesn't matter if they've done terrible things or I've done terrible things. That doesn't stop them from being united with us. You know what unites us? Is that we've both accepted the shed blood of Jesus Christ and believed on His sacrifice. If they have not accepted the blood of Jesus Christ, if they're not saved, then we can't be unified. Because, well, understand, the only unification comes by being in Christ. That's how important it is. It's not that a person says, hey, that's a great church and we like the things you offer for the children or the youth or the music. That's all well and good. But we can't be unified unless they believe in the same Christ that we believe and have accepted his sacrifice that gave them salvation. Outside of that, we can't be unified. Now, we can have all kind of different likes and tastes, but if we're unified in Christ, then we're united. And that's what Paul is trying to say. We're united by him in Christ. So, reason number 7, and I love this. When you got saved and you were put in Christ, we became something special to God. There's a reason to praise. We became God's handiwork. Amen. You know, I'm going to Ephesians 2, right? You might get down on yourself and think, I'm just of no value. You might think, I don't know what I'm good for. But when you begin to read what Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus, and you know that, hey, there's nothing you did to deserve salvation. You know it was the gift of grace. You can start praising God for his grace first. Verse 8 says, for by grace are we saved through faith. That not of ourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So we have to give our praise to God. But then, listen to this praise for being in Christ that we read in verse 10. For we are his workmanship. We're God's handiwork. Listen, created in Christ Jesus. Unto good works which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We're his handiwork. What does that look like? Listen, you know what handiwork is? That's something special that you do, right? Recently, I spent a good little bit of time trying to create this hearth and this mantle out of tile and mantle around it. And listen, I would look at that thing and I was looking at what I had to lay on and the brick was just coming and going and this and that. Each little step that I took, I had to get it smooth, I had to get it level, I had to get it plumb. Then you had to lay the tile and you had to get it there. And I would sit back. This verse came to me. I sit back sometimes and I would look and make sure everything was just exactly like it needed to be, what I needed to tweak. And yes, it took a long time. But what was I looking at? I was looking at my handiwork, right? Looking at that hand. Man, look at that. Look at that corner. Look at that joint right there. Look at that grout joint right there. Look how this comes up. That has to be left. Look how that's symmetrical. Look at how I was admiring my handiwork. Listen. When you do that, you've made something or created something. Isn't there a feeling that comes within you that says, man, look at all the time and effort that you put into that to have it come out like that? Isn't it? Now listen. God looks at me and you and says, look at them. That's my handiwork. Look at this gift that I gave Sister Denise. Look at her using that gift. She's my handiwork. Don't you know that's a reason to praise God, that he looks at your life and what he gives you and how you use it and says, well, that's my handiwork. That makes me want to praise God on those times where I feel worthless. We're his workmanship. You're God's product that he made in Christ Jesus. Man, what a reason to praise. Reason number 8. We're part of God's plan in Christ. Turn one page over to Ephesians chapter 3. And I want you to know that. I want you to know that God had a purpose for us. And his purpose for us was through the purpose of Jesus. We're part of God's plan. Part of God's plan. You know how it feels to be on a team and want to get put in? I remember coaching And I remember those little fellas, and I'd try to get them put in, and I mean, they just weren't good. We wanted to win. I know the kids wanted to win. I knew we'd been at practice, and I knew we needed to go in, so I wanted to put them in. Sometimes I think what that feeling is like. You got some kids that are fine not to go in. You got some kids that are going to ask you between every inning, right? Am I going in now? Am I going in now? You know why? Because there's this innate desire to be part of the purpose. Like you're playing the game. I want to be a part of this. I want to be a part of this. Praise God. In Christ, we're part of God's purpose. I think that's beautiful. Ephesians chapter 3. I read verse 11 to you. It says, according to the eternal purpose which he hath purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Do you know who that eternal purpose was for? It was for me. It was for you. We're part of God's purpose. Praise him. Amen. I think about the things that don't go the way that I think they should. And I know that even when things in my life don't go the way that I think they should, I'm still got part of God's purpose. You know the verse that maybe I'm going to quote, and it's Romans 8:28, and it says, for all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to what? God's still working it out according to his purpose. You're part of his purpose. Amen? The ninth reason that we have a reason to praise. And there's many more. I just wanted to pull some of them out. And this is a big one. We have hope in Christ. There's a lot of things that we put effort into, but we don't have real hope. We have hope in Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I just want to read you several verses that I think are strong verses. And to me, I know a lot of people have a lot of different favorite chapters in the Bible. 1 Corinthians 15 would have to be one of my favorite chapters. Paul begins talking about the gospel. Then he begins talking about the resurrection. Then he begins talking about the resurrected body. Then he begins talking about the rapture. And at the end of it, he says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So it's an encouragement from start to finish, right? That's why my page 15 has tape all over it. Why? I need to read it. But in the middle of this, he lets us see the hope. Look at verses 19. It says, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Amen. Here's another but now. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam we all die, even so in Christ shall we all be made alive. Glory to God. Now, Paul added to this little tidbit in the book of Colossians, chapter 1, verse 27. You don't have to turn there. I'll just read it to you. Paul said, to whom God would make known what is the riches of his glory and the mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. There are a lot of people that are hoping for things that are not going to happen. As a believer, how can I get to the point of not praising God that he's got my future sealed? How can I get to a point of being so caught up in today that I forget to praise God for the hope of glory? Not just the hope of the eternal glory in heaven, but the hope of a glorified body. If I praise God for my long life here, and I live to be 100 years old, and I praise God for my long life, don't you know, eventually that hope will go away. Amen. I won't continue to live. If I praise God for my good health and what I can do with my good health, eventually that praise will go away. But praise God, the hope of glory is a praise that will never go away. And we get that. He said, Paul said in Colossians 1:27, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. You being in Christ and Christ being in you is the next reason to praise. It's your hope of glory. Number 10. 10 points in this thing. And look, we're not too far into this thing, are we? We've managed our time pretty good. If I would have told you 10 points at the beginning, some of you might have cut me off and said, man, 10 points. 10th reason. He protects us with his love when we're in Christ.
Hallelujah.
Romans chapter 8. Just giving you the word this evening. What a strong statement. Verse 38 and 39. For anybody that walked in here this evening, you had something on your mind and you're down in the dumps and you're in that funk. You ever get in that funk? I know some of you do. I want you to know I do too. Happens to us, doesn't it? Paul said, verse 38, for I am persuaded, neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor death, nor height, nor any other creature, none of these things that we think about when we get in this funk, none of these things take away our reason to praise. That we can't be separated from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. I'm persuaded neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Glory to God. Amen. So take a minute. Think about what actually happens when you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. And you become a new creation, a new creature in Christ. Think about it. We're reconciled to God. We're brought together with God in Christ. We're redeemed. Our freedom is bought. We're rescued from sin and eternal death in Christ. No more condemnation. We're rescued from it. We're born again. In Christ. We're reincarnated. We're recreated. After that, we become children of God in Christ. You want something on your resume? You're a child of God. We're united with each other and with God, and then we're set apart. We have a specific purpose in Christ. And if that's not enough, God can actually have a special feeling when he looks at me and sees that I'm his handiwork. He calls me his handiwork. Praise him. The next reason is that, you know, I can praise him because I'm a part of his master plan. And so are you. You're part of his master plan in Christ. And then the thing that a lot of people don't have, your hope for tomorrow and your hope of glory is in Christ. I've shown it all to you in the scriptures. It's not something I came up with. I just pointed it out to you. But this last one, nothing, Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. In Christ Jesus, I've done things that should have separated me from His love, but it didn't. Did you know you had all these benefits and blessings of being in Christ? We have plenty of reasons to praise God for being in Christ. We just need to remind ourselves. We need to continually remind ourselves. Always know that there could be somebody here, somebody listening that's never accepted Jesus as their Savior. I need to tell you something. None of this applies to you. You're not in Christ. In order to be in Christ, you have to believe in the one and only true living God. You have to believe that He loves you, that He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die for you, that Jesus lived a sinless life, and then He gave that sinless life for you as a sacrifice so that you could accept Him and that you could be in what He did. You could be a part of His sacrifice. You could be a part of His death, a part of His burial, a part of His resurrection. But if you don't accept that, you're not in Christ. And I want you to be, but God wants you to be. If you have accepted that salvation, you're in Christ. So what do I need to do? Let's just start with this. We need to praise Him at this time for what He's given us, the benefits and blessings of being in Christ. Lord, I love You. I thank You for this time You've given us. We've got plenty of reasons to praise You. Lord, I thank You for promising us stuff and giving us stuff that we don't deserve. Thank You, Lord, for pouring Your love out on us. I thank You, Lord, for being the one that initiated this. You reconciled us to You through Jesus Christ. You redeemed us through Christ. You rescued us through Christ. Lord, You gave us our freedom. You let us be born again, recreated. You call us Your children. You unify us together and You set us apart and we become part of Your handiwork. And I praise You for that, Lord. You give us hope. But Lord, this love that You have for us, I do not understand it. I cannot fathom. And that gives me all the more reason to praise. Tonight, Lord, there's some here that just want to praise You. We haven't praised You enough. Or there might be some here that haven't been thinking about what they do have. Lord, tonight You've shown it to us. Let Your word burn in our heart and let it give us that reason to praise You. You're worthy of our praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Would you stand?